listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, you can get the most trusted news straight from the team to your phone, including videos, photos, player news, and more. Plus, a lot of features on the Browns 2015 rookie class offseason team workouts. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now and stay up to date on your team. 216-578-0850, the way to get on board here with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Paul Kruger coming up. Joel Corey, former NFL agent, now contract specialist for CBS Sports, will be with us to talk about the Deshaun Gibson situation in depth. So we've got that coming up. Some other news in the football world. Number one, Everett Golson, the former Notre Dame quarterback, will transfer to Florida State.
We'll see what he can do down there.
See what he can do down at Florida State.
He's definitely not Jameis Winston, sitting in the pocket, making those throws, big body, big arm. You know, he's more of a Johnny Manziel, Marcus Mariota type of guy. So we'll see what Jimbo Fisher, what he does to that offense and how different it looks from one year to the next. But he'll be very talented.
Bringing in a talented guy to help ease the loss of Jameis Winston. The other new news, Nathan Fenno on Twitter reporting. For those who are wondering who Nathan Fenno is, he is the Los Angeles Times Sports Enterprise reporter. He says, just in, the Chargers and Raiders closed Tuesday morning on the land deal to build a stadium in Carson. 11 acres go to Carson Holdings. 157 acres transferred to JPA controlled by the city of Carson. So the Chargers and Raiders, Carson City, which is just outside of Los Angeles.
We had training camp down there. My first 2 years in San Diego, the Home Depot Center.
Okay.
Is down there where I believe the Crew play. The Los Angeles Crew play soccer there at Home Depot Center. While we were also there hosting it at the training camp, it's where the X Games has been hosted many times. There's one of those velodromes, those cycling dome things down there as well. And it was
good
when
use
I was
a velodrome.
Is that
that's right.
Is that correct?
Yeah,
nice.
It is.
Thank you. And a lot of the reason why we moved up there, and it kind of stunk because I was a rookie, you know, and having to go to, you know, you just get into your apartment, you're just getting situated as a rookie, and understanding the nightlife and the life down there, the cool restaurants, and then it's like, boom, 1 month, you know, away from all that, living in a hotel. And it was the Chargers' way, and I'm sure, you know, the Raiders want to get in on this too, having been the former Los Angeles Raiders, is to own that huge TV market.
Yep.
And that's a lot of the reason why Roger Goodell and, Kroenke, the owner, Kroenke, whatever his name is from Kroenke. Everybody
Denver.
From St. Louis wants to own that TV market. And that was our best way to get up there, expose the Chargers as a brand to what we're doing, where we're growing. But all in all, we moved it back down to Charger Park right there at the facility, you know, in Mission Valley, San Diego.
So that means the Chargers could be L.A. bound.
What that means is Phillip Rivers may be out of town.
Out of there. He might not want to go up there, but could be L.A. bound. Could be two teams, it looks like, going back to L.A. What would you think? And let's go back to your training camp situation. When you were up there, some teams see that as a good bonding experience. As a player, did you prefer and did you feel like you gained something as a team going on the road together? Or were you happier in your own bed, in home?
You're happier in your own bed, close to all your resources. And that's a great question, is because a lot of the players, when given even a half a day, say you had one practice in the morning and you have, you have 3 o'clock, you know, until bed check, off, and say it's 11 p.m. Or if you got the night off too, you had to be, you know, in your meeting at 8 a.m. the next morning. Guys would get in their car and drive the hour and 40 minutes back to their house, spend 4 or 5 hours at their home, then drive the hour and a half back to the hotel to make that, you know, that night bed check, and or sleep in their own bed, wake up in the middle of the night, drive that back.
Right.
So there wasn't a lot of bonding. And we were just a really bad football team. And also, I just thought it was very distracting. You know, Los Angeles is, you know, 40 minutes north. You've got Newport, you know, within 40 minutes of you. And that's where I would think, if and when this does happen, that a lot of the Raiders and guys will probably – and the reason why I do think Phillip Rivers doesn't want to move up there because he's very, very happy in San Diego, having been there for, you know, a decade now. Those guys are all going to be Orange County guys. You know, they're going to move San Diego. They're going to move up to Orange County. It's going to be a little bit faster. It's going to be a little bit more expensive, you know, but I don't think a lot of guys are going to go north to Los Angeles to deal with that traffic, to get in and out.
Oh, yeah,
it's just a pain in the rear.
It is. It certainly is. It is a big pain in the rear. 216-578-0850. We've got Joe in North Carolina calling us. What's up, Joe?
Hey, sorry, guys. I'm a little off topic here. I thought you'd be talking about the flake date a little more.
No, that's fine. We're talking about whatever you want.
Well, yeah, so I've been listening for a while, and I'm originally from Cleveland, but this kind of has been interesting to me. I think that people have missed, or at least what I've heard talked about on the radio has been missed as far as the impact of what this potentially was over the course of, like, since 2007.
Sure.
So my understanding is that the Patriots have been, like, off the bell curve as far as fumbles per touches.
And my buddy, like, Beatbox just emailed me those articles, and I read those about the fumbles. You're exactly right. The Patriots have fumbled at the lowest rate in the NFL.
And I would also wonder how many drops their receivers have had. So, like, down in North Carolina, Brandon LaFell goes up there last year and lights it up, you know, and he's known down here for being a guy who drops the ball. So
there are a lot of things, though, but
bigger impact.
I think it's possible. And I would also say this: Tom Brady throws a much more catchable ball than Cam Newton. Cam Newton still rifles the ball around, doesn't necessarily have that kind of touch.
No touch.
There are a lot of factors that play into it, but it certainly is something to think about. And I know that there was, by the way, for the article about the fumbles, there was an article that was rebutting it, saying that it was, you know, statistically insignificant. But there's some. It seems that there was something going on here. I bet if you actually went back and looked at every team in the NFL, that they're not the only team that preferred a slightly lower. I think quarterbacks, it's just personal preference, just like in golf. Some guys prefer their clubs to be a half inch longer. They like their shaft to be this particular way. They like to bend the clubs down, whatever it is.
Yeah, or I mean, you look at every high-end ball now. There's a Pro V1. There's a Pro V1X. You know,
right.
One guy hits one ball 10 yards further, you know, but the give is that I don't need that 10 yards, but I want all that spin around the green because I'm able to control my wedges and do it, you know, and play my game that way.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. And I'm sure as you see guys walk on the basketball court, everybody takes that ball, dribbles that ball, gets a feel for how it, you know, that pound that it takes.
Of course.
Some guys use the powder. Some guys don't. Some guys use the sticky on the bottom of their shoes. Some guys don't. None of that's illegal, but I'm just saying – guys like to prefer that handle the ball, or, you know, some like it sticky, some like it slick.
The NFL just came up with, I think, arbitrary numbers and said it's got to be between these two PSIs arbitrarily, not that there was really any science involved in it, and that's what they went with. And, you know, it ended up outside of it for the Patriots, not by much. And if you read the most recent article on Monday Morning Quarterback, another compelling case for the Patriots side of things. I don't think – I'll say this again. I don't believe Robert Kraft – steps down right now and back down like that unless he knew something good was coming on the Tom Brady side of things. Now, here's what Peter King just tweeted out about it, because he's been all fire and brimstone. He was attacking everybody, and he was also, you know, talking to Peter King, and Peter King was certainly seemingly to take the Patriots side in this. And this is what he had to say just now. He said, "At no time should the agenda of one team outweigh the collective good of the full 32. Robert Kraft said, takes a big man to swallow anger given for common good. Also takes a man who knows he wouldn't have won and wants to lower the Brady ban. I think that's what it's going to be about ultimately. It is going to be about helping Tom Brady and focusing on winning now. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we'll hear from Paul Kruger, the outside linebacker, the sack leader of this team, talking at the Cleveland Browns Foundation golf outing about the upcoming season, his role on this team, much, much more. We'll have those comments when we return here on CBD.